The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Lowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only 6/19 through 6/25. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Right. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group, this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care. No, but we want you here.
Welcome to You Can Sip With Us. I'm Colleen.
I'm Ashley.
And we have a special guest here.
And we have a guest here. Before we get to our guest.
Yes.
What are you sipping on?
So I poured myself. Do you remember when I talked about that champagne that won the award?
Yes,
for the best
I do.
Champagne, or was
in
it
all,
just
in all time of every of all the?
Was it champagne? It was like, I can't even remember what I had.
Yeah,
or
was
it
champagne
sparkling? It was like, sparkling white wine. Are those any different?
Yes, because champagne comes from France, but it's only different if you're a hoity-toity. Otherwise, we just call bubbly wine champagne, and then we don't get mad about it, you know?
Right, good. Right. That's right.
So, either way.
So, I had this whole box from them that had that award-winning wine, but I had forgotten that I had all these other, you know, runners-up.
Wow,
these bridesmaids.
Of course you forgot about wine at your house, of course. Very on brand for you, Colleen.
It's perfect. So okay. It's been sitting here since Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, untouched. A case of wine sitting here. Great. Okay, it's perfect.
True. So it's from that Rocco winery. That same.
And?
Haven't had a sip yet.
Delicious? Okay. What? God. Okay. Perfect. Well, I can't wait to hear what you think.
Yeah.
I brought these are not new. I brought a can of a spicy margarita cannabis cocktail. I don't know if I'll do that whole thing or that. Sometimes that kicks
me a
little
too
far.
Wait, so is there any, it is both? It's cannabis and tequila?
No, or it's THC and CBD.
Great.
But then my backup is I brought a gluten-free beer.
Great.
Right?
How nice.
So I've got a whole thing of water here. We are really well covered. Okay.
Oh dear. Oh, I poured a big thing of water and I've forgotten it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'll survive this.
Okay. Yeah, you've got wine. You've got really nice wine there. We've got another really nice thing here with us tonight.
Yes.
And his name is Dave.
Dave.
You guys have heard about him. Colleen, tell us, like, because you guys have, I think we've talked here and on the Patreon, our bonus episode, like our other Friday drops, but let's catch everybody up.
Yeah, I've sprinkled Dave around both podcasts. I don't know if he knows that, but over on Patreon, which, by the way, if you guys aren't over there, this is where we hang out on Tuesday, Patreon, patreon.com/you can sip with us. That's where we really like let loose a little bit more and talk about everything that's going on in our life. So it makes sense that I was talking about Dave over on Patreon, because that's been a big part of my life over the last several weeks. Mm-hmm. And I've told Dave this directly, but he's been changing my life. And I don't say that lightly.
Yes, she has said that behind your back, Dave. So it
so
is true.
It. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So we'll get more into what that's looked like the last couple of weeks for me. But what I'll say is Dave and I have known each other for a long, long time. We go way back to my very first real career ever. Dave was like my mentor there.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, way back, like my first real
way
job.
Way back, like quite some time ago. Like more, longer than I even...
Like 20 years almost.
2008.
2008.
Very
yeah.
close to that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then,
which is cool,
we worked together again at a different company for several years. And so we've stayed in touch, which has been nice. And Dave has become obviously a very good friend of mine. But there's always been, I will say, you were a mentor as my within my first real job. But then there's always, I felt like a mentorship in a way. Like your friendship with me has felt like I admire you a lot. So
some people carry that kind of energy, that kind of wise, empathetic or something energy, you know? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then there was a very timely phone call. I knew Dave was building a program because we'd had a conversation before that. And then he said, hey, Colleen, would you do this program, right? Would you be part of this program? And it was like before he could even explain what the program was, like, yeah, sign me up for anything that you built.
Right. Yeah.
I'm in. Yep. Yeah, I'm in. Yep. And it's been really incredible. I shared over on Patreon the skills that I've learned that are going to, I think, transfer so well into every part of my life. And I feel like there's things everybody should know. And so I asked Dave if he'd be willing to come and join us and chat with us a little bit more about that. So Dave, do you want to take a couple minutes and sort of introduce yourself and talk about, you know, the program that you've built and sort of the why behind that?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, thank you. Thank you both for having me. And maybe I'll just round it out. My name is David Salo and my organization is Throughline Institute, but yeah, I go by Dave. I answer to both Dave or David, but Colleen has always known me as Dave. And so, but anyway, I just want to make sure I have a full name.
You have a full name. Can you spell, I'm sure you're going to, we'll ask you to like plug at the end, but what, can you spell your last name now?
Sure. David. S is in Sam, A-L-O, Salo.
Okay. Great. Well, nice to meet you, David Salo.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Glad to be here. So when Colleen and I met, started working together so long ago, there was a gentleman at the organization who was like an internal coach. You know, really, his name was Gary Frenzel. Some of you listening, you may well know him. I don't even know. But he became like really instrumental. Like actually, I have chills right now just thinking about it because he absolutely changed my life. And it was like one of the first times where, I mean, it was like, this was a long time ago. This was like early 2000s when I met him. And I had never done anything personal. Like I was like a very private personal development type person. Like, you know, like I read things, I was doing things. I was like on the hunt for, you know, whatever it is that we're seeking. Solid seeker, but it was very private. Like I didn't tell anybody, nobody knew. I was just sort of like corporate job, those kind of things, but not ever really feeling like I actually fit. I always felt like, why does this not feel like it was like off, you know, it's like, I don't, this is not my natural domain. And yet the thing is like, we need to do it, right? Like we, like, it's just like, we got to have a job, wanted to have a house, wanted to do a lot of things and have like a whole life, you know? And it just didn't seem like I didn't know at the time how I could do that without having like a proper career. I also didn't even really consider like, oh, that's an option to do something else. Like I, that was not my choice, you know? So at any rate, I ended up in kind of pursuing this corporate track, which I really have no regrets over. And one of the greatest things was having Gary, working with Gary. And he changed my life so dramatically that I thought, before he retired, I thought, I have to somehow do this with my life. Like, I won't do it. I can't do it because I was still too young. I didn't really know anything, but I had great inspiration around it. And so he retired and then, unfortunately, it ultimately, you know, passed away. And we became and remained very good friends. And, you know, I actually have a picture of him here, like really a key inspiration for me. So part of my reason why is because somebody was able to do something that really made a big difference for me. That was Gary. And so big part of my inspiration there.
I was just going to say, I think it's so fascinating that you sort of didn't feel at peace in that corporate environment, like your soul or your spirit or whatever didn't feel like that was the right fit for, like I just wrote down, isn't it interesting the doors that open when you think you're walking the wrong path and it turns out like that was the path you needed to be on beyond probably meet Gary to then like he shows you this other doorway and it's like, oh, this one feels a little better. And then you just keep walking down.
We just keep going through the doors. Yeah, like, that's right.
So cool.
It is like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it was the discomfort, quite frankly, that discomfort of, of like not knowing or not feeling, it was sort of mixed bag. You know, there was things that I liked, there were things I wanted, especially like the trappings. Like, it's really great. Like, you get paid, you know, if you succeed and you achieve and you hit the goals and do all this stuff, the way we were incented, yeah, you get, you know, like I had a great, we were well compensated. Like, it was good. And I don't have regret over that stuff. But the thing that was always sort of gnawing away was this, at times, kind of this feeling of like, I don't know, sometimes you felt a little compromised. You know what I mean? Like, there's just times where you're asked to do things, or there's a way in which it just doesn't feel like totally aligned. But I didn't really understand what was going on. Like, I think that's ultimately the thing, is I didn't quite get what the friction was and like why I didn't feel okay. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, Gary had retired, you know, some time had gone by. And then I was kind of back to this thing. Like, I had really a good run where, like, for quite some time, I was very content. I was doing a lot of stuff, had, you know, pursued things outside of my professional life. Like, I've done many things. I was a mountain climber, rock climber, race bikes for a long time, did a lot of different things because it was like I needed the outside, I needed the third place. And my third place was usually moving around on some sort of a vehicle, or like on my legs, or my on a bike, or doing something. And so, but then this thing kind of set back in, and it was like kind of bothering me. Like, the friction was the agita. And as things go, I ended up with hiring a different coach, like a different guy. And he did this thing with values, like core values. And I didn't realize, like, oh, I had no idea what my values were actually. I mean, I thought I did. Like, I really thought, oh, I know, like, I'm a good person. I care about people, you know, like, I don't know. It's just such like these vague, there was like a lot of vagueness. In reality, like, when I look back on it, it's like, I had no idea, but that was like instrumental. And like, knowing that, kind of identifying that. And then he ultimately taught me the process in which he had put me through. So, but knowing that, then I could look at everything where I would, every bit of discontent in my life, especially these things where I felt compromised when I was either in any type of relationship, doesn't matter, like friend relationship, intimate, you know, kind of thing, partnership thing at work, or just being an employee, or being like where I have power over somebody at work or something. Like, just knowing every time that you have, every time I had a conflict, I could sort of overlay the thing and be like, oh, then all of a sudden, like, I understood more of like what was actually the problem. And it was just so liberating, because it was like, it just started to make a lot of sense. Like, all of a sudden, like, I had like another piece of like, and really where I'm headed with this, so much of it is like getting to know yourself, but we just have to like get to know ourselves, get to know ourselves, get to know ourselves. So there was that. That was a big one. And then I think later I started meditating, and then it was like deeper, you know, like it became deeper. Like, the layer had gotten peeled back to a point where it's like, oh, I think there's something, I think I'm actually looking for something more. And so then I went a layer deeper and started to kind of pursue more legitimate, like, and intentionally more things around like meditation, exploring consciousness in a very particular way. And some of that had to do with just being in pain. Like, I just had pain in my body. You know, there was just like pain. I was inflamed. Started going to a naturopath. I had like alignment problems. I mean, there was reasons, you know, I like crashed my bike, or like got injured, or, you know, like, I don't know, different things happened. But so ended up with it starting to like accumulate a team. Had a chiropractor, had an astrologer, you know, had different things, you know, like I had like a group of people, like people I needed to have, you know. And then I ultimately had a therapist, hired a different coach, different things. So, you know, the long and the short of it is, you know, like these health things, it was always seeking like what's some new layer of discomfort. And I would sort of address that and then learn things and then find a modality and then go deeper. And it's just been this sort of top down kind of approach for a long time, many years, decades, frankly. Yeah. So anyway, well, that's my why. It's like ultimate. How do I feel good? How do I find peace in the midst of complicated living? I mean, those are my and then to give back. At this point, I'm grateful to be like have an opportunity now to do something where I'm like, oh, I can actually like do it, where like I can give back. Yeah.
So then you created your own program. Is that what happened next, after you kind of had this team in place and you met this, you know, I love this idea of like you meet yourself and then get to know yourself and get to know yourself and get to know, because it's, I sort of, you know, call, and the people here that listen have, we're kind of constantly reinventing. I am constantly reinventing, and it's not necessarily reinvent. It is getting to know myself, but it's also like not just maybe what was always in me, but maybe it's a whole new me that I just, you know, had no idea existed, or maybe it was always in me and we're getting closer to who we were meant to be.
Dave, last week you said something to me about how women, people, but you might have said, my mind went to women in their mid-30s, 40s, or like late-30s, 40s. It's like a really important time to peeling back these layers and like putting your team together, right? And I think Ashley and I have talked a lot the last couple of years, like, wow, we just feel really different. And is it... like, what is it? Is it just this time in our life? And there's a lot of good that comes with that. But then it's also, it feels more than that, right? So like, that's a thing. That's a whole thing.
It's a thing. It's been my experience. I'm 50. I'll be 52 soon. So I can say this with confidence. And I've observed it, you know, many times just from my own living. Like, this is what happened. Yeah. Sometime around like early 30s, it's kind of like, oh, it starts to knock on the door a little bit. And then by like, say, 38, it's like, something has shifted. Like, there is just a change, but it's partly, there's just like the wind blows through our lives. Every decade has a very particular, like what's riding on the wind is different. It's like very specific for each of those decades. And you know, if we just look at it like it's spiritual growth, there's some saying somewhere, if I remember right, it's a little, I'll get the gist of it. But it's something like, if you're at 40 and you start looking at it, then you're kind of right on time. If it's before that, you're a little bit early. And if it's like much later, if you're just like picking it up, not to say you can't like later, I mean, I see people do it all the time, but if it's over 50 or beyond and you're just sort of like coming around to it, like keep going. But like, it's not the same as if you had a like you're starting with a basically a 20 year deficit on some of that stuff, but like we do it. So that's where I think the importance of it, of being around 40-ish, to really start paying attention to our health, all the levels of our being, body, mind, spirit, the whole thing, trying to just get things lined up. So like there's congruence where we just that, if we can line up and start to live with greater congruence and pay attention to our like aches and pains and kind of like not just trying to power through back pain and stuff. I mean, because when you do get into your 50s and it's not, and you've not really done that, like it's harder to heal. Like it just literally slows down. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you saying there's any correlation to your physical body and like your physical health and your emotional health?
I think so. My opinion is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My experience for me personally, I'm not a doctor, you know, so I'll just say that, but that's been my own lived thing is like, as I've improved my physical health, sometimes I'm working more at the different levels, you know, but the physical health, you know, the manifestation of physical ailments can, I mean, they originate in these more subtle realms, could just even be, you could just say thoughts, emotions, other influences and stuff. And then they drop into the body. And then we have sinus inflammation or gout. Or whatever the thing is, you know, intestinal problem with digestion or heart disease. You know, it's just like these things happen for different. It's like I'm kind of doing this with my hands, but it's like these other layers and like how what's coming in out of the different parts of our being. Yeah. How we're resonating with the world and world around us.
We've all had to pay that $20 no-show fee for a morning workout class after a night with the girls, but not no mo.
No,
because now we have found a product that guarantees we don't need to snooze that alarm. It's ZBiotics, a pre-alcohol drink, which is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut, and it's the buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember, if you want to feel good the next morning, make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night and then drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. We've brought these. I bring them on trips with me now because they're these tiny little, like little, I don't know, 1 ounce glass things. So I travel with them. Like I've done it before wine tasting. I take them over to like pool parties sometimes. I took them to Dallas with us because they really are. They just give you that extra, you know, buffer to help you feel good the next day. And that's more important than ever. I mean, right, Call, when you've got kids.
Oh, my.
You know?
Goodness, do I ever. Spring is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate warmer weather. Before drinks on the patio, that tropical vacation, or your best friend's wedding, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great the next day. Go to zbiotics.com/sip to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use SIP at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/sip and use the code SIP at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Dave mentioned the core values, which was part of the course, which I found fascinating for myself because I've, in the getting to know yourself process, I have never once looked at or thought about my core values. Have you, Ash?
I mean, I've been asked it like at like a Tony Robbins seminar or something, or maybe because I've been very big into personal development for a decade or so. So I feel like I've seen it, but I think when I think about it, I had the same sort of thing that you had, Dave, which is like, yeah, you know, family's important to me and friend, but like, I don't know if I have like guiding principles and that I really like take into my day-to-day living and choices and stuff. Yeah. Right. So,
well, you do actually, like we all do, but I just want to say that like, it's important to know because there's probably somebody even listening that will say, well, I don't either, me either, but we do. The reality is we do that. We just don't until we bring them into like, until we know, then
the consciousness.
It's just so important to be clear on it. And also I'll just add the anti-values. I think this is what set it apart for me, with this particular process I'm working with that I learned from Tim Brownson, is that it's the anti-values. So what are we against? Like to know like what we're really against, because there will be like a few things that we're just absolutely against. And so when we become outraged by whatever's going on around us, what we see happening in any domain of the world, it's like, oh, I'm against that. But we don't know. We just feel upset. And then we are driving around angry. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why. There's just like unease, you know, like disease, like in our lives. So that's where it does hit all the levels. It's like when we know what we're for, we know what we're against, we know how like they can lay on one another. Like you could have loyalty. This is an easy example, but like loyalty can overlay a bunch of other things like harm. And so you can put up, let's say you're a value of like not harming and you're very loyal. And so like they sort of like stack on each other, and then you can put up with an intolerable situation because, you know, to get yourself out of something, even if it's not good, well, you're being disloyal and you're going to cause harm because you're going to like, it just like there's times in our lives where we make decisions and it's going to cause harm for us, other people, no escaping it, but ultimately it's better. So like my view is like, we want to have it where we're using a scalpel. Like when we have to do something difficult, we're using a scalpel rather than like a chainsaw or a bomb or some kind of thing where it just explodes and there's like mass destruction in our lives. We can we can do it where we're selective and strategic and precise, even though, and then the wound heals. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is like you want to do things in such a way that there's healing, you know, that it can be set up to heal even when we're facing difficult choices.
Yeah. This is very fascinating. I just was talking today on stories about like boundaries and things. And I, you know, that there's sometimes for me, there's grief that gets associated with boundaries sometimes, and it can be really challenging, but I sort of like that part of the human experience. I mean, I don't love grief, but like I like feeling things and learning and growing and processing of grief and who I'm going to become in the process of all that. So I don't love grief. I don't love being sad, but I look at it with different eyes now. Mm. But I was flooded with messages today of people saying how challenging it is for them to put these boundaries up with friends or family or parents or, you know, people that they love. Yeah. And as you're speaking and wondering, well, when you said about like a scalpel, so then I think a lot of times what happens is people like, maybe it's going against their values. I don't know. You tell me what you think, but maybe things are happening against their values or something for enough time. And then there is a bomb that goes off because they're like, I can't take it anymore, you know, instead of like a clear boundary that is serves as a protection for you, really, and the other person. But I don't know what your thoughts are around that.
Yeah, it's a really good point. You're bringing up something that's complex, I'll say. Like, mm-hmm. I have to preface it with it's complex. Values are part of it, but what stands out to me and what you're saying is there's injury, like we become injured, mm-hmm. like really at a, like possibly even in utero, like there's a degree of injury that starts to happen, you know, and then it mm-hmm. just kind of compounds over our lives. When we're very young and we don't have words, but we have experiences and we feel things, and then especially if there's difficulty, like if things happen, you know, at a young age, mm-hmm. like there's mm-hmm. death of parent, divorce, some kind of thing, or we're dropped in a certain way, or we feel like we've been, because of a circumstance, like the people couldn't attend to us quickly enough or whatever, like when we were in great need, those things make these really big impressions on us. And so then we start operating from that for a really long time. So it's important to realize like there are injuries that are very real, like we could call it trauma, you can call it, you know, wounding or these different things, but that can't be ignored. And then when we have, and then we kind of go through our whole life, and then there's this way in which the world and living just has a way of kind of, it continually like kind of hits that thing, you know, and then like mm-hmm. there's all this debris gets stacked up, and then we start doing these maneuvers to sort of protect ourselves from that. And then we become kind of boxed in, you know, like there'll just be like furniture all over on our inner world where there's just like a bureau and then like a ledge and we're tripping on things. But it's meant to protect, right? Mm-hmm. But we get sort of hemmed in by all that stuff. So this is all to say, my position on boundaries is we do need to know ourselves a lot. And we need to be able to get comfortable with dealing with the pain and like that type of grief. I mean, good for you. Like I believe what you said, and I respect how you're going about it. Like, I think it's very good. There's a way, one of the things that I've also learned along the way that came a little bit after what we've talked about so far has to do with dealing with that kind of internal pain. And I just consider it like subtle body pain, where it's just like mm-hmm. in our emotional realm, it's in the heart, it's in our soul. You could say it's like in these different areas. But opening wider, but like not just indiscriminately. Like I really do have a process I can teach people. I've been working with Colleen on this. I have, for a taste of it, I do have like I've got some guided meditations that are available for free on SoundCloud where you can just listen to them to get a flavor. But I'm really
listen to them almost every day. Yeah. They're amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah. What's your, I mean, I'll say more. I won't lose my place.
Yeah, no, keep going.
Do you need
keep
to going. Say anything more about
no,
that?
No, but we should tell people how to find the SoundCloud because they're great. And the new one that you just put on the there's like a 5 minutes to grounding one. Like that's something that everyone can do every day.
Yeah, before so Zoom or something. That was really the idea. It's like, how can you do something mm-hmm. when you just only have 5 minutes? Like, how do you realign?
Yeah.
I can share
so
the link
David
with you.
So it's just David Salo. SoundCloud David Salo.
SoundCloud David Salo, yeah.
Yep.
But the short answer to all that, because we have to acknowledge pain, adverse childhood events, and all these kind of things, but knowing ourselves and getting to know like where it's located in our body, yeah. I'm big on somatic, like where it is somatically present, mm-hmm. getting into the body, but we have to do it carefully and in a particular way, so because it's not always comfortable for folks. But then opening the heart wider. It's counterintuitive, but we actually like the boundary comes by being more wide open. The safety, in my experience, we become more wide. Mm-hmm. And then it's just counterintuitive because, but then we're still in touch with people. you know, like we're still in contact. Like, I don't know if you can feel this, but I'm just very wide right now. Like, it's actually, you can hear it in my voice. Like, it changed a little bit. Like, I just widened. You're more available to me. I'm more available to you. But like, I know you can't actually come in and hurt me. Like, I'm not a, I have to be concerned about that, but like, I'm more available to you. To me, it's safer
to be wider right
to
now.
To open the heart more. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All the time? Or you mean like walking through life all the time?
Yeah, but you have to get aligned and there's a whole bunch of stuff. Like, we have to do a whole bunch of other things. Yeah, but
Well, I didn't know if you meant like you're feeling wider like right now in this
moment. I am saying that quite literally. Yeah, right now. And also like walking through life, we can do that. But we do have to, there's some ways in which we have to be careful. You know, mm-hmm. we do have to mm-hmm. be a little bit careful. There's protocols and things to protect yourself. But ultimately, what I find concerning sometimes when people talk about boundaries is I feel them walling themselves off mm-hmm. out of protection. And then mm-hmm. there's just this, they're like boy in the bubble kind of thing where it's like, there's no contact. And then we're worse off in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. it's a delicate conversation. So I want to just be like super respectful of where everybody's at. Cause I know it's a spectrum and that there's people are in real pain. And at the same time, we're looking for connection. We need connection. We want resonance, those kind of things. And so part of my bigger dream is like, how do we relate to each other, learn to talk and connect and support one another in a way that's like really nourishing? Like even when things are very difficult, where somebody can actually, they know they have people that they can talk to in a certain way, they're going to be able to listen to them, be present with them, be responsive to them, in a way where everybody's sort of held and contained. Mm-hmm. Maybe it includes advice, but maybe not. Maybe it's just like, ooh, but like being able to be witness and be present to somebody else's pain. Where they're not, where it doesn't launch them into their own spiral of difficulty. So we have our work to do, like all of us, but we do it together. That's mm-hmm. kind of what I'm aiming for.
I feel like one of the big themes we're hitting on is, and what I've found to be extremely beneficial through the program is getting to know yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And there's kind of like two roads we could go down, but I think the one that makes sense, because we're just, it's a nice dovetail off of what we've been talking about just now, is like the practice of grounding and mm-hmm. kind of how to do that. Some of the things, Dave, that you've been sharing with me about like top-down alignment, keeping feelings, like some of the more tactical things
yeah.
with the idea of there's so much that happens in a given day. There's so much that, and Ash and I have talked about this before, where there's like a certain number of events and then all of a sudden the day takes you for a ride. Like I felt tonight a couple things taking me for a ride tonight. I was juggling mm-hmm. the kids by myself. Mm-hmm. We were at the pool. There was just like some hard things going on, some like listening challenges with the kids. And I felt myself start to like be taken for a ride of just like the moment that I was in. Mm. And, you know, there's things at work where you like get indulge into drama, like whatever it may be, right? There's like a ton of different things that can take us for a ride throughout the day. But the idea of being really like firm in the ground, being like anchored in so that that isn't happening. And you used an analogy that I think about a lot, which is like the orbit, like we're the planet, but then there's these other things we need to keep like at the orbit, almost like Matrix, like slow it down and see it. But maybe we could, I don't know if it's like possible to kind of share some of the principles of that, some of the foundations of that, and then maybe even try some of it with Ash and I and maybe the listeners, like a live demonstration.
Do a live demo? Sure. Let's see. I'm up for that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. One of the other things that I think is important to say, that's another piece of the why really, is that I was on vacation once in Hawaii, really having just this lovely time. This will fit in with this ultimately. And then I was just so relaxed, you know, it's like, it was beautiful. Like, it's like one of my favorite places in the whole world. And then I was just like these random things where I would just, and I was taken for a ride by them. Weird memories, things that were just sort of like terrible moments in my life that like, it was like affecting me negatively. And it was like gorgeous. I was there, you know, with my wife. We're having a great time. And it was, yes, intrusive thoughts, intrusive experience, intrusive memory. So ultimately, it led to this whole thing of the amygdala. Like, I ended up doing a variety of things, but the amygdala is kind of this alarm center in the brain, just, and it will, it's just sort of like this messy suitcase of things. And it's as if there's somebody just like, once you start to relax, once I started to relax and there was just like yanking things out, I was like, I think I'm losing my mind. Like, I was very concerned, actually, you know. It's like, it led me to like a deeper part of the journey with, you know, different types of healers and things. But ultimately, it's important to know, like, that's a thing. And what I'm about, when we do this, I just, we have, because we're going to be, we will be kind of working with the nervous system. It's important for anybody who hears this to know it's possible you could become activated through this. It's just more of like a warning, but it's going to be fine. Like, this is not, this is like ultimately a very portable resource, something that's good, easy to work with. And there's just some steps and I'll be clear on the ways in which we can do this safely, no matter what.
All right, Ash, this week for me, I couldn't be more thankful for this next partner, because between planning episodes, life, work, right? Wake up in the middle of the night, that 3 a.m. wake up where then you think about everything you've ever said.
Just a spinning mind.
Yep. Oh my gosh. The falling into the rabbit hole. All right. That was my life before Beam, and sleep wasn't exactly my strong suit. Don't get me started, right, on the late night creative burst that hit when I finally lay down. I'm so thankful that we found Beam's Dream Powder, and it's changed everything. Dream is an all-natural sleep blend with science-backed ingredients like reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. It's designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. And unlike other sleep aids, there's no next day grogginess. I love that about this. Obviously, just real deep sleep that helps you actually feel good in the morning. And it tastes really freaking good too.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's like a cozy little hug in a mug.
It's like dessert in a cup.
Delicious.
Yeah. Mm.
What
warm
we love most.
And soothing cup. Sorry. Just don't you dare.
Sorry, I cut you off. What?
Are you kidding me? Okay.
Keep going.
Beam has improved over 17 and a half million nights of sleep. 92% of users surveyed reported better sleep and waking up refreshed. Those odds are good. But what we love most, Beam is an American company built and run right here. So when you support them, you're backing real people making great products the right way. I love them. It's obvious that Ash loves them too, you know, for jumping the gun and, right, and cutting me off here. But we really can't wait, you know, for you guys to try them. We love telling you all about them. There's nothing better than great sleep. Beam's here to help you.
Plus, for a limited time, Beam is giving our listeners their best offer yet. Up to 40% off. Try their best-selling Dream Powder and get up to 40% off for a limited time. Go to shopbeam.com/sip and use code SIP at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/sip and use the code SIP for up to 40% off.
So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So essentially what I'm working with, the model that I'm working with community is based on the community resiliency model. It's a method that was founded by the Trauma Resource Institute out of California. And they're drawing from other like wisdom and kind of mindfulness traditions in this. So you'll hear language in there that is kind of resonant with that. But basically what we begin with, there's four key steps that we're going to work with. So the main thing is tracking. And so whenever we're going to start tracking, we look around the room and we just start to know like where things are, where we are in space. And we begin externally. And it might even be feeling like your clothing on your skin, feeling the chair, knowing where you are in relationship to your desk or anything. So it's like, here we are in our physical location. And then we start to kind of more track inside our body. So it could be, what's it like in your face? What's your heart space like? Shoulder tension, low back, what's it, note the feet on the floor, for instance, or if you're sitting on the floor, like just how your legs are on the floor, if you're lying down, it doesn't matter what position you're in, you can be doing this, but we just want to know like what it's like on your inner landscape. You can look at your breath, but like in no, there's no at all, even in a discouragement of trying to control or regulate your breathing. It's just like, yep, I'm breathing. My heart's beating. Maybe what's it like in my hands happen to be kind of a little bit cold. So I'm aware of that. That's tracking. So we want to be able to track. So we're just tracking our inner landscape. Mm-hmm. The thing that I learned through this process that I think is the most incredible thing ever is the important, is this next part, which is a resource. So we bring in our personal resource. We bring it in and invoke it. It can be something real, like a time or a place or a location or a moment with somebody that was good, or a pet or something. It's just something good, but we can also imagine it. We could bring in our imaginal thing of like the perfect whatever, but something where we feel good, where it's actually a felt sense of goodness. So maybe a certain food, a smell in the air, or just a feeling, something soft on the skin, somewhere where we felt safe and good. So, and what we do is we literally bring it in and invite it to be, to come around like it's happening to me. I'm just going to, and I think you guys will start to be able to feel it soon. It will just come in. This is my resource, but I'm going to share it with you. So it will come in like a vapor and it will just be like around us. It's just going to be around us. And we, as if it was like some sort of fragrance in the room, or a mist or something. It's lightweight. But it's just like, oh, this is good. It's nice. Mm-hmm. And so it's our resource. We bring it. We can do this anytime. It's so amazing that within our body and our kind of our constitution, we can do this and it's free. Mm-hmm. It's completely available to us at any moment. So, so important to bring this. So we bring in something good. And then as we kind of tune into that and we're tracking how that kind of starts to overlay on us, a sense of grounding often just naturally comes in. So we're just a little more rooted. It's just a little easier to kind of relax into the chair, and we can check in on the trust of our chair. Are we really trusting it? And can we trust it a little bit more? Yeah. And you know you are because it comes a little closer. Yeah, like that, like it's happening. And then we trust the floor. So on the one hand, this is grounding where we're inhabiting our body more. It's very gentle. Mm-hmm. The resource is really important. We've got to stay with that. And we want to stick with, have the resource present and then stay with pleasant and neutral feelings. There's no shortage of things that are difficult in our body, in our minds, in our environments. And they're fine, but we're not paying attention to them here. We're staying with pleasant. We're staying with neutral and our resource, because we need that. If when the time is right to look more closely at the other things, we need to be completely resourced and rooted this way. So that's a little bit of the rationale. So not bypassing difficulty, but we're cultivating well-being here. So where we can bring this home more is we can either feel our feet, for instance, we could feel our feet just in the ground like magnets, like more of a magnetic feeling of our feet on the ground. We could put our hand on the table just to feel the firmness of the table or the arm of your chair, or you know, hold on to an object or something. And then as we do this more and more, we can actually create a pathway. So you could put your hand, for instance, in a certain way on the table, and in time, it'll be a different amount of time for each of us, depending on how diligently you practice with it. But like you will become something where it just, you just become more grounded. The next part that I'll share is like, has to do with gesturing. So we can do gestures. And so hand on the heart is a good one. You just put your hand, pick right or left hand, you just put it on your heart. And like, and that, and as we have a resource, we're tracking, we're letting gravity sort of work its magic. We're settling in more to the bottom of the ocean here. And then we have a hand on the heart. We could put our hand on the side of our face, compassion, like kind of the self-compassion sort of thing. As you put your hand on the face, or you could hug yourself, or I know sometimes I find myself just kind of holding the back of my neck in a certain way. It's soothing to me. Or like I like scratching, etching, like on my pen, there's like etching. So like I'm right now doing it with my thumb. It really is something nice for my nervous system. It hits me like all the way in the depths of my spine if I scratch on exposed stitching or etching. So like these things, we just need to know that. So kind of back to getting to know ourselves, we just need to know that. And then we have these little things that if we're having a stressful time in a meeting, where like you're describing these situations that it was just to get here, the things you're going through, like these are ways in with the grounding, even if you were walking, as parents, you have to move all around all the time. So you just check in with your feet as you're moving, you're stepping and stepping and stepping, walking through certain parts of the house. You could have this be like a thing where every time you walk down or through a certain door or down a certain section of the hallway, it's just like, you have that, you build in what we're talking about here is this sort of like memory around this. So when you go through that, it's like going through the car wash and then you're back, like it is like a recentering and you're like washing all the stuff off and you're coming out anew and you're ready to take it on because you've become realigned. And so just being quiet, let it settle in. Yeah, peace. We have like a felt sense of peace. That's mm-hmm. what I feel here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know how long that took. 7 minutes, maybe less. Yeah. But that's it. For instance, like that's a crash course on it.
I told my friend today, it's the last day of the month that we're recording this. And there's this goal that we're reaching for. And I said, man, I'm going to have to take some adrenal support tomorrow because I feel like I'm just running on cortisol and adrenaline. And it's been fun, right? It's fun to like go for a goal. But this is the first time all day probably that I have felt peace like that, like this sort of calmness, this... Said, yeah. And I had this thought, which you said stay with the positive, but I did have this thought that was like, man, you're missing it. You know, like I'm at my son's game today and I'm like ferociously on the phone doing things instead of feeling my feet on the ground or like smelling the dirt from the field or, you know, whatever.
But it sounds like you were because you remember it. But yes.
I do this kind of stuff. So I don't, but I don't remember what my feet felt like on the ground today or what the baseball dirt smelled like today. But you know, I try to, but today was not that day for me. And I'm just saying this was very.
Yeah. So glad I can tell like it was. So the next piece, like we were just to embellish on this a little bit, would be to open the back of the heart. So if we can just go back, I think you're close enough to it still that we just go back to that thing where we're aligned. We're feeling the feet on the ground. We have a resource coming in, still very present here. Yeah. And then we open the back of the heart. So it's more like pulling the shades back and just letting the sun come through. Mm. It's like, oh, warmth, here it comes. And then we open the front of the heart and then it's like we have a cross breeze and then it's just like, whoo. So this is how we become renewed like that. Yep, exactly. So then we're filling the tank back up after but we can learn to do this while we're doing the busy thing, but it takes a while. Like it's not, like it gets sputtery, like is the truth, but like you're having an experience of this because this is like how we're built as humans. Like this is a function of our humanity. Mm-hmm. And then we get busy and we get pulled away, but we can practice ourselves into being able to be like, oh, I gotta stay full. And so then it just comes in, the tank is topped up and we're dealing with what needs to be dealt with. Whether it's good or bad, you know, like could be a celebration, could be a difficult conversation. It could be somewhere totally in the middle, which is very hard to pay attention to. It's just so bland. It's just like, you know, like you don't even see it. Yeah. It's just completely like nothing. A lot of our day is like that. I mean, we just so much monotony, you know, in our lived experience. And luckily we do forget, because like it would be really tedious.
Doesn't that feel so good though?
And
it's addicting in a way of like, it's like hydration or something hydration. For your spirit.
And I like the delivery, because you left some pauses for us to feel it, but not so many pauses for my brain to get distracted and start having thoughts, you know, that wander, which has been my experience with meditation a lot of times. They say, you know, I've done like 10-day challenges or things like that. And it's like, focus on your breath and okay, the thoughts are on the highway and just let them pass. And, but our brains are not they used think. To being as, they think.
Yeah. So we go to the heart. Mm-hmm. We just stay under the neck. Like that's how I work with that. It's like, you know, close this up and just go to the heart.
Yeah, close those blinds.
Yeah, like we don't need our third eye all the time open looking at things. So we just like go into the heart, open and just feel it. Like just feel the open the windows, let the breeze come in, and it will like there's not room for thinking because it's like, oh, that feels great. Like this feels good.
Yeah.
Like what's coming through here, it feels great.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying? Maybe it was in one of the meditations on SoundCloud, or maybe it was something you said live, but it was like taking your mind almost like a hat off and like putting it under the heart. Was that a thing?
Yeah, you put it under the heart. Yeah. You can actually, you just like kind of take your, I'll just do it like you can too. I'll just, and just follow along like more energetically. You just take it and then we put it under the heart. And just kind of tuck it in, like below, more under the sternum. It's going to be like more under sternum, as if there's a throne of the heart is where the emperor sits, is on the throne. And then we put the mind under that. The mind serves the heart. The mind serves the heart. But the mind takes over. It thinks, oh, I'm in charge. But no. The heart rules. And then the mind does what is being told. It takes the order and executes. It just is, we often have our priorities mixed up. So this is the whole, like, these are the, like where we're headed is how do we get ourselves aligned and get, but we, there's some anatomy that needs to be sort of addressed and some moving around and some practice. But that's the cool thing about doing it with other people is there's resonance and I can model it. And then like, there's attunement, like mirror neurons and stuff will kick in. And then it's like, oh, that makes sense to me. And then we just practice and over again. And then, tuning for it. And then it becomes something that you can carry too.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I mean, coming out of that meditative state, just like it's like just giving your brain a rest. I also feel like therapy has helped me sort of ease my brain too. And that is where BetterHelp comes in. Mental health awareness is growing, as we're talking about all throughout this episode, but there is still progress to be made. 26% of Americans who participated in a recent survey said they have avoided seeking mental health support due to fear of judgment. But when people hesitate to get help, it doesn't just affect them. It impacts families, workplaces, and entire communities. This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's encourage everyone to take care of their well-being and break the stigma. The world is better when people are healthy and happy. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching people with the right therapist from their diverse network of more than 30,000 licensed therapists with a wide range of specialties. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide, and it is easy to switch therapists at any time, no extra costs.
We're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/sip to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/sip. Okay, so we've talked a lot about getting to know yourself. Grounding can help bring in that sense of self interconnectedness, even well-being, like tuning into well-being and what's real. I think getting to like a deeper sense of knowing. We talked about core values. I would say the other really big eye opener for me was the assessment that I took and the analysis of the assessment. I talked about that on Patreon. So Dave, let's talk about that. Can you share like what this assessment is and how we analyze it and then like what it can do I guess, for your life and sense of self-awareness.
Yeah. You know, the group that I was trained with through that, basically the easiest way to talk about it is that it's essentially like kind of a right fit assessment. And you can use it for a lot of things, but it's really designed for people, for either employers who are trying to figure out like, how do we get the right people working for us, you know, and, or for an employee to say, or like us who are workers in the world to say, well, where is a good environment for me? Like, how am I wired? Like, what's my professional DNA? What's my, mm-hmm. how am I like lined up? And so basically there's an assessment. It's called PXT is the name of it. But basically it measures six things. There's a composite score, looks at verbal skills. So kind of like how your mind is wired around like verbal skill, reasoning, numeric ability, how you use numbers to reason. That's kind of like thinking style. And then there's behavioral traits, which have to do with like your pace, whether you're, you know, kind of steady or if you're super fast paced, on the opposite ends of the spectrum, how assertive you are, whether you're introverted or extroverted, how you make decisions, whether you're sort of methodical or if you're very bold, your degree of independence versus autonomy, or like collaborativeness and judgment versus intuition. There's just these different things that it looks at. And then also like occupational interests. So like, are you enterprising? Do you like to do spreadsheets? Do you want to be out selling? Do you need to do something with your hands? Are you creative? But all that to say, it's scientifically validated against professionals. That's a big thing. A lot of assessments are not at all, they have no validation. And then many that are validated against like college sophomores and stuff. I mean, not that that's a problem exactly. It's just that it's much different if you're a 40-year-old professional who's, you know, vice president at this point versus, you know, somebody who's 18 right. in college, like, mm-hmm. you know, like we're just vastly different people with 20 years of experience. So anyway, all that to say, it looks it kind of weights the thing on this pool of participants and then a bell curve of like, where do you land on that? And it's not to say you're good. It's good to be one way or the other. It's just super important to know where you are. So like I was telling you when we mm-hmm. began that I didn't really feel like I fit in. And that's true. I really didn't feel like I fit in corporate, but the areas, the organizations where I had the most longevity, one was at 13 years, one was at 8 years, both of which gave me a lot of freedom. Like I was tasked with something that was sort of hard and ambiguous and it was up to me. And so like I was able to thrive in that environment because like I have a high need for independence and autonomy and I'm quite introverted. And so like, it's really good for me. And so like, I can be self-employed because, you know, like that's good for like, that's, it works for me. And like, I have ideas about things. And so like, I don't always want to do what somebody tells me to do. Like, if I really think it's a bad idea, like I may well say, like, I think that's a terrible idea. And it's it's put my managers in difficult position before. Cause I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And so like, I don't even like to say that out loud, but it's an absolute truth. But I was careful with it. I only do that selectively, but I have to have a good reason but it's the truth. So what I found for me when I took this, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. So now if I were to go, let's say I did go back into corporate job or something, my profile actually is well suited to what I'm doing. But if I were to go back, it would change my whole process of like, what am I looking for? What's the environment really like? Not because we can just kind of be like, oh, I like the title. I'm going to get a car, good salary, maybe some stock options. I don't have to move. And it allows me the flexibility to do X, Y, and Z, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Parents, kids, family, whatever, or our interests. But there's so much more to that to say, am I going to get along with the people? And, you know, can I keep up? Is it going to be moving too slow? Like some industries, like going from, like I went from basically finance to higher ed, the pace was glacial. Like it was like a 180. It was so weird. I mean, because of the cadence of the environment, like if I start selling into government or something, like it takes 2 years just to get like on the cycle of their contract renewal. So like if, as an example, if that's going to drive someone insane because they're so fast paced, like they should know ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And this report will allow you to do that. Yeah.
What I've found it to be really helpful for me is not just like culture fit or organization fit, but my awareness in how other people operate.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Whether that's
yes
work or personal, but where I find myself letting people take me for a ride, I realized with that assessment of, oh, we are just at opposite ends of this thing. Yeah. And we're just built totally different. And right. I can't remember the scale, if it was like basically like a 10-point scale or
five, but there
10
left and right.
So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were certain categories where if you're like in the middle, you can kind of swing how many points in either direction?
You can swing 4 points. And yeah, that's right. So if you're on the left, if it's like, if you're one, let's say the first three on the scale are like represent about 16% of the population. But the third one is 10%. The second one is like 6%, and the first one is like only 2% of people. So it's a very small. So if you're like really at the margin, you can't flex down very far. Mm. And if you're yeah. so if somebody's highly independent, and then they have a collaborative boss, let's say, who's like really needs to, they'll feel micromanaged and picked at.
Yep.
And if we don't know that that's what's happening, then we're just going to resent the person who's like all up in our business. Or for the person who's collaborative, they're like, why are you boxing me out? Like, yeah. what are you hiding? You know, so it cuts both ways. And we really do need to know, like, how are we and what's our impact? And I think that was, if I remember right, there was one of the sub reports that kind of said, this is how I can show up with the, and I remember you saying that it was useful to you to see.
Like, yeah. Like, I mean, one of the categories for me is I like to make decisions and just like keep things moving. And so when there's pensiveness or deliberation about something, or when we make a decision and then it's like in any context of my life, and then we pull back where we've undecided, I uh-huh. find I get like that, like that rattles me. Mm-hmm. Like, no.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your report. You're off the charts bold. Yeah, like you're the like, highest bold.
So it's good to know bold. That. And I've found yeah. myself being, I try really hard to swing down to a six. You know, it takes yeah. a lot of effort, but then it there's also going to be like situations and people where maybe I should just remove myself altogether because I can't serve it or like add value mm. when I'm just, you know, I don't want to opt out totally, yeah. but there's just, it's nice to have the awareness, you know,
have them put you in at a certain time in the process. Yeah.
Yes.
Something, mm-hmm. or just to know, like, they're not doing it on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's a, like, yes. people are not really out to get us, you know? I mean, maybe some are, very few, but generally speaking, most people don't think about, we're just not on anybody's mind. I mean, I think that's at a deeper level. People are preoccupied with themselves and other things. And so, but what we can know is that our impact, and like, if we're having thoughts about what's going on, it may well just be like how each of us are wired, and then we have stress that's known or unknown that's impacting how people are showing up. And so, but yes, it all comes back to like getting to know ourselves, like how do we know, and how can we use these different things to have perspective and just use it as an overlay for certain situations so we can have greater harmony. That's how I relate to it. It's like, how do we cultivate well-being and perform at a high level, have a great life, get along with people, stand up for ourselves when we need to, mm-hmm. be close, but at an appropriate degree of distance, have sovereignty. You know, I mean, these are all things that are like super important that relate to what we've talked about with like boundaries, how to handle ourselves in the world, how to cultivate well-being. Yeah.
So if someone was going to hire you, what is this? Because Colleen has sort of, you talked about the personality assessment, and then, you know, you've talked about that he's really helped you. I think maybe it is these sessions where, I don't know, now having gone through it, this sort of meditative
yeah,
introspection.
Totally.
But what does that, is that always a part of your coaching? Where they start with this assessment?
Like like if we were to do, if someone wanted to do like a, more of a full, there's a couple ways. There's like an intro where we could do just the assessment and a couple of sessions, mm-hmm. like just as like, do we work well together? Maybe that's enough for somebody. If somebody wanted to do something longer, it's more like a 6-month kind of thing, or 9-month program. Mm-hmm. We go deeper and we include all the different pieces. So it would be the assessment that we're just talking about here with the, for kind of the work thing, the values we do, kind of how to understand more about how each person, the client's nervous system is lined up, because it's going to be different for every person. We're all going to have strengths and weaknesses, you know, pluses and minuses, and like our, where we're going to get kind of tripped up. And then we find that, and then we sort of like mark out the terrain and then practice some of that and use that really as like how to give and receive feedback, even within the coaching. But then it carries over to our lives if we're having, because like when we get grounded, if you're trying to tell your kids to go to bed or put on their shoes, like it's when we start to get frazzled, like we'll end up kind of like up and out. Mm-hmm. And it just, it will kind of come out in like static. But then if we can become where we can just get into that deeper grounded place and they come in deeper and say, I think it's actually time you put on your shoes. Like there is something else that comes through where they're like, oh, I guess I need to, you know, or I guess it's time. I guess I really do actually. We got to get going. It's time to like put it down because we got to go. So it's very practical, but it also helps us in our lives, asking, buying a coffee with our employees, mm-hmm. doctors, like all this stuff. So anyway, we do all that. And then the next phase, that would be phase one. And then the second phase is more how to like start to live into and identify like where do you want, what part of your life are we working on, and how to start to get slotted in that way. It's kind of like a little less fuzzy. And then at the end, like you're really stepping into the where you want to be. And then the solidity comes in and it starts to just, okay, so now we're living into that. We're applying all these things and people are like off to the races because they'll have a goal. I mean, or they want some degree of transformation, but it's something like where somebody's like, this really has to change. You know, like I can't keep going like this. And then, so we do it in three phases. There's the first phase, getting to know ourselves. How are we wired? What are you built for? Like, what are you trying to do? And then do it. And then I support you through that process.
We do have, Ash, I'm springing this on you. You didn't know about this. We're doing a giveaway.
Oh, okay, great.
So there is a package with Dave.
Wow.
Giveaway.
Wow.
So Dave.
That's amazing.
Well, okay, so how you enter is you need to sign up on Patreon. So you either have to be a new sign up or already there hanging out with us on Fridays, patreon.com/ you can sip with us. And then you also, Dave, do you want to tell the rest about going to your website and then how to like do the second part to enter in and then what the package is that they'll receive if they're the winner?
Yes. So is there a way to share show notes or something with links and stuff?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll put a link in there for you. But basically, you go to my website, throughlineinstitute.com. It's all one word. So throughlineinstitute.com. And then on the contact page, which is in the upper right, it's the last link on the upper right of the main screen when you're there, click on contact. And then there will be a form at the bottom. It will say, you can sip with us, promo. And then enter your name. You have to enter your name, email, and phone number. And either enter in the message, just say sip with us as like the entry piece, or you can leave a little bit more information to say what you're interested in, but put that in. And then what you'll get is what comes with the package. It's a total of four sessions, and it will be paced out over 4 or 6 weeks. We'll do the PXT report. We'll do the grounding, which is the well-being, kind of this resiliency work, like how to cultivate resiliency, and then 2 integration sessions. So we'll do the report and a debrief, and then the resiliency stuff, how to work with your nervous system, and then 2 integration sessions. So 4 total sessions.
Yeah. Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah.
Go enter. You might win, enter. But even if you don't, you still want to do this. I promise you. So it has changed my life. Couldn't recommend it more. That's a wrap.
I want to thank you both for having me here. And I want to thank your listeners for, you know, for listening, and love to meet you, and please enter, and and may you win, and we get to work together.
That'd be so cool.
Stay right here, Dave. Don't go anywhere, because we need you to stay. But then for everyone else on Tuesday, you can sip with us always. And we will see you
some Tuesday.
Some Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Want more? You can sit with us. How about another round of your favorite podcast? We
sign me up.
Same.
Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad free. You can sign up. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/ You Can Sip With Us, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us. Become a patron.
Just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
KCO.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.